express my appreciation to the organizers of this. The topic I was asked to speak about was a conservation reserve program, a practice to help mitigate climate change. And I want to recognize my co-author, Carolyn Olson, who was really supposed to present this, but she didn't. No? Okay. Sorry about that. But first, let's get it kind of on the same page. This is a voluntary program offering annual payments, cost share assistance, and this is for protecting highly erodible, environmentally important land and placing it in CRP for 10 years, and it does increase carbon sequestration. I'm kind of going to take us through going from the past to the future here. This was the RCA Act, Stormwater Conservation Act of 1977, had resulted in data that showed soil erosion and the concurrent soil organic matter losses were becoming as serious as during the 1930s. And there was a strong need to implement strong conservation practices. Going to the next bill, I think, that was a key piece of legislation was the 1985 Farm Bill that officially established CRP as we know it today. Established financial assistance for conservation practices, and it also established other important programs that we're still working with today, such as EQIP and CIG. And then finally the 2008 Farm Bill. So I've brought you through a lot of years of legislation, but I think these are three key bills. And the reason I want to point this one out is this environmental services market has been authorized, and this may be something that we watch in the future and see how we can work with this on some of these conservation issues. The 2008 Farm Bill updated and extended the 2002 Conservation Security Program and renamed it, and made changes in the Grassland Reserve Program. Okay, here's all the conservation practices, so pick out your favorite. But I have highlighted, and I'm not sure it's all of them, but it's what I could collect. But I've highlighted five of these that I want to talk about a little bit more. And this is conservation practices 1, 2, 4, 10, and 23. And the reason I want to talk about these more is that the sum of these five practices account for about 82.5% of all the acreage that's in the CRP program, which is now about 12.6 million hectares. And I'll have to switch back and forth a little bit between acres and hectares because that's just kind of the way things happen. But anyway, looking at these five, here's 100% of these five of all the CRP practices. Here's these five, 82.5%. And if we look at the Great Plains, which was a reason a lot of these were established many years ago, it accounts for about 58.4% of all the CRP practices, these five within the Great Plains. And you can see then CP10, established grass, is maybe the largest one and so forth. When the CRP was established and began having enrollment, it quickly increased by 1992 to 14.74 million hectares. And this is where these are. Authorized 12.9 million hectares, we now have 12.7 because they reduced the authorization. And you can still see a lot of these are in the Great Plains, the U.S., certainly in the Southeast, the Northwest. And when I come a little further along, I'm going to talk about Baca County, right down here in the corner of Colorado, which was certainly in the Dust Bowl. Now, as we move forward, by 2025, percent of existing contracts will essentially all have expired, certainly half of them within about the next 3 or 4 years. So there is still some authorization. We did have a sign up 39 in 2010, and it did sign up 1.7 million hectares. It had 1.8 million hectares roll out, so we're at about 12.6 million hectares now. And some of the benefits, I think these are things we want to include, and I want to call this citation to your attention. This was a study done using APEX and the EPIC models and published in 2007. And on these graphs then, showing these benefits, the top one will be the crop system, the bottom is with CRP, based on these model results. And if you look at wind erosion at the edge of the field with cropping, you can see how serious it can be out in some of the Great Plains in this part of the country. And essentially with where CRP is on those lands, it would reduce it to about nil. The same with water erosion, which was more serious in the eastern part of the United States. Again, with CRP, essentially can reduce it to nil. This is a pretty powerful program. Water quality improvement. Again, looking at nitrogen loss off the field. Again, the eastern United States showing quite a bit, but with CRP, again, reduce it about to nil. Phosphorus, generally reduce it very largely. You know, again, still some issues out here, but it's done a pretty good job. And wildlife benefits. People always wonder if this guy's looking through a telescope. He is not. He's candling an egg. If you've never looked for viable eggs, that's how they do it. And here's a wild bird nest. And what CRP has basically done is increase the population of ducks and pheasants. And it's generally decreased the rate of decline of your grassland birds, including sage grouse. But there's still declining populations of those. And finally, the increased carbon sink, what we're interested in terms of global climate change. Again, crop production is on the top graph, CRP on the bottom. But in this case, the colors are showing losses of soil organic carbon. The darker the color, the greater the loss. And here, showing increases generally with the greener colors. Is this real? This is a study that was done at about 13 sites. There were three pits dug at each site. CRP, cropped, and a native. These were on same soil series, same slope and aspect to make these comparisons. And going from cooler to hotter, going from north to south, and to wetter from going from west to east. And I can't go into the data a great deal, but just to kind of summarize the data from all those sites, and I want to point out the cumulative carbon with depth down to about 2 meters, undercropped, look at that compared to native, and then look at what CRP has done average across all these sites after about 7.5 years. So it is having an impact down through the profile, at least cumulative impact. In terms of rates, and let's just look at the green light because he's going to stand up on me here pretty quick. But we're getting around 900 kilograms per hectare per year on that cumulative, a lot of it in the near surface. And I want to go to that Baca County that I pointed out. This is how this guy brought his land out of CRP. We're going to the future. If it's coming out, how do you do it? And this is a farmer, and his neighbors maybe will copy him. But he sprayed out his CRP. Planted it into the residue, no-till planted wheat. He got a 20 bushel acre. It was a dry year, but he got a yield, and not all of his neighbors did that were farming traditionally. He came back in with strip till to 3 inches, planted milo, and he harvested 120 bushels per acre that following year. And look at the residue. He's ready to go and keep his program going. And so just to summarize, and I've just highlighted in yellow, nationally assuming an average of about 550 kilograms of soil organic carbon per hectare per year is sequestered across the current 12.6 million hectares, this would result in 6.9 million metric tons of soil organic carbon sequestered on these lands. Now, U.S. agriculture is reported to emit 69 million metric tons of carbon equivalent per year. Carbon equivalent, or CO2 equivalent, means that includes the nitrous oxide and the methane emissions. And so CRP is offsetting about 10% of agriculture's CO2 emissions annually. We've got to think in the future. I think that's one of our jobs. We don't want to repeat lessons that we've had to learn the hard way. There is going to be new and greater demand placed on U.S. agriculture produced bioenergy, and food crops, and I don't know what it did to me. I guess I'll press the right, okay. And for export, to maintain food security. And so these future government programs are highly important that will help maintain this this carbon. And so we're going from the past into the future. I hope we don't end up blowing in the wind. Thank you very much.
Okay. Are there any questions?
Yes.
Ron, have you sampled enough to see if there's any difference in those practices like CP1, CP4?
No.
Is there a different seeding mix?
No. No, we have not. And I think the main thing is there's that permanent vegetation, which is what CRP is about, and then the grasses and deep-rooted grasses, but we haven't differentiated between them. Yes?
What good does it do to sequester carbon for a 10-year period?
Will you please rephrase or repeat?
What good does it do to sequester carbon for a 10-year period?
Well, okay, the length of the contract is for 10 years, but each year it's sequestering carbon during that contract period. And then the objective, or the good it does, is it's removing atmospheric CO2, a greenhouse gas, that's been emitted in the atmosphere by automobiles or whatever source. And the sequestration of the carbon is just to store it in a long-term source, and by definition, carbon sequestration or sequestration is long-term storage. So it more or less ties it up, removes the greenhouse gas from the atmosphere, improves the soil, contributes to nutrient cycling. There's a whole host of things that would be beneficial.
But then when the 10-year contract is up?
Many of these can be renewed. They may have improved their practices or new practices that can then maintain the carbon in there. And I think the NRCS and others, Extension Service, are working very much with these farmers to try to help them when the time comes, transition out of this. So.
Time for one more question. Thank you.
Carolyn ought to ask me a question. No? I should stop picking on you.